Είστε παρέα με το SBS Ελληνικά. Βρείτε περισσότερες ενδιαφέρουσες ιστορίες στο sbs.com.au/greek.
Dr. Antonis Piperoglou, thank you so much for accepting the invitation of the SBS Greek Language Program and be with us today. Thank you.
Thank you, Panos. It's a pleasure to be here and to engage with your audience.
My first question is very simple. What is going to happen at the University of Melbourne with the global diasporas?
This is obviously a new position created by a dynamic and quite unusual relationship between a significant ethnic community body, the Greek community of Melbourne, and the university, in tandem with funding from the federal government. And it allows an opportunity to create new, refreshing dialogues about what it means to live in a super diverse society. The Greek community is a great launching pad in order to facilitate new conversations about what it means to belong in a city that is part of a global populace of different cultures. I will be playing a role in acting as a bridge, if you will, between the academy and the community, and facilitating public dialogue and public scholarship in a way that's translatable to our ethnic communities.
Do we have examples in other countries of a similar attempts?
In the 70s, during the multicultural turn in Australia, there was a plethora of research, a whole range of different people looking at different cultural groups and their impact on the making of Australian society. And similar things happened in Canada and the United States. In those countries, during this time, there were established ethnic and immigration studies, centres for the study of migration, centres for the study of ethnicity, centres for the study of diaspora. We in Australia didn't have such a kind of institutional space for studies of migration, diaspora and ethnicity to be located and have a kind of central focus point in which good research could be undertaken. I have engaged with many colleagues in the United States and Canada, my Greek colleagues who have positions across various universities in the United States and Canada, who have developed quite innovative new projects and new ways of thinking about how we can pluralize our understanding of the Greek diasporas today. And I put emphasis on the plural Greek diasporas for us to think about the varied Greeknesses that exist, particularly across Anglophone or English-speaking countries across the world.
Why do we need this kind of studies? You know, how is it going to benefit the Greek community in Australia, the Greek community in general? And is it going to benefit also the Greek language?
Yes, indeed it will. I mean, it will benefit the study of the Greek language. It will benefit the retention of the Greek language. But it will also benefit our understanding of what we might perceive to be the reworking of the Greek language. And I'll come back to that in just a moment. This role is important on several fronts, but I think the major one is this. Multiculturalism has played a fundamental role in the making of Australian culture and society. But in many ways, since the Howard years of the 1990s, it's in crisis. And this position, for me, then, offers a rare opportunity and a greatly needed opportunity to develop fresh theorizations and public conversations that allow us to transform our understanding of what we might think of as transculturality, what it means to live in a super diverse society today. And so, with people of second, third, fourth generation Greek heritage and beyond, we can think about the reworking of the Greek language through these later generations. What types of words, what types of speech patterns, what types of exchanges are maintained and continued through the generation? And this is important because this challenges our notion of Australia as a monolingual society. This challenges our sense of what it might mean to be Australian, and that it's actually possible to think about being Greek Australian in many different forms. Here I want to kind of put emphasis then that the importance here is is to move away from what we might perceive as ethnic singularity. We want to move away from thinking about culture as static and fixed. And so if we think about the history of the Greek language itself and the introduction and enforced implementation of Kathareblessa, for example, mm-hmm. we can see then that the language, even in Greece, is something that is malleable. It changes. It's changed by the state, it's changed by education practices, but it's also changed by how people talk and live in the everyday, in their everyday lives. So, yes, absolutely. The teaching of the Greek language will have a significant role to the position that I'm about to take up at the Melbourne University. But I think more importantly is also the designing of subjects that allow us to think about the global dynamics of Greek movements across time and space, and the different types of ways that Greeknesses, as I say, changes. And here I think it's important to think of what I call the three R's: rework, retain, and reject. Greekness is rejected in the diaspora, Greekness is retained in the diaspora, and Greekness is reworked in the diaspora. And this can happen simultaneously, all at once, in one's daily routine. We can change aspects of our culture on a daily basis. And so it's important then to give resources, give time for us as a community. Mm-hmm. And I should say that in some ways I'm a child of a grandson of the Melbourne Greek community. It's important for us to create spaces in which we can reflect on the different types of Greeknesses that exist in our communities today. I'm incredibly honoured to take on this position. I'm a grandson of Greek Melbourne. Each Easter and Christmas, we travelled as kids down the Hume Highway from Canberra to spend time with all of our extended family in Melbourne. My understanding of Greece was developed during these formative trips. In many ways, these trips was me going to Greece, my limited childhood brain. So my own sense of Greekness was then further developed when I moved to Melbourne as a young adult to study at La Trobe University. And in this respect, returning to the city for me offers an ability for me to contribute to fresh public conversation with Melbourne's dynamic Greek populace, while also producing, I hope, high caliber research and teaching in collaboration with many experts at Melbourne University to refresh our public conversation. When I say public conversation, the relationship between academic thinking and the community at large, and having a way to explain complex ideas in simple ways that are translatable to young and old. I just want to give a little one last focus to say there are many issues at play in our community, and I just will highlight two. One is aging. We are certainly seeing our post-war generations aging rather fast, and with them their language, their knowledges, their skills. It's important then for me to play a role in finding ways to document these lives, to collect these stories. But further to this, it's important for us to consider how second, third, fourth, perhaps fifth generation Greek Australians, those that identify with having Greek heritage, relate to their sense of Greekness. It's important for us to start to get a picture of what kind of a modern contemporary Greek Australianness looks like today. And this moves us beyond exhaustive, tiresome narratives that kind of talk about Greeks in this singular form, that they came here after the war, they worked very hard, and now they've kind of become good Australians. And I think the story is much more complex than that. And I think it's important in the kind of public health of our city, of our ethnic community, but also then how our ethnic community thinks about itself in relation to other ethnic communities.
Is it in your plan to have a sort of kind of collaboration with universities in Greece or in Cyprus, or even from Australia, for instance, with the La Trobe University, where the Greek studies program is there?
Yes, absolutely. I received an email from one of my colleagues at La Trobe today asking about the possibility of collaboration in the future. It's important to recognise then the diversity of different universities across Melbourne, La Trobe, Melbourne University, Monash, Victoria University. These universities will all have a kind of student populace of Greek background. There are different ways that those students perhaps will want to engage with studies of their culture, and that can be done through the study, the formal study of language, but it can also be done through the study of history, can also be studied through literature, film, media studies, communication studies. And what I'm interested in is getting experts across our academic community to come together in a kind of a cohesive, collaborative and balanced way to refresh how we may teach our students. But on top of this is a significant opportunity for us to expand and become a hub for global studies of Greekness. And so with my colleagues, my intention is to collaborate quite significantly with my colleagues in the US who study Greek America, with my colleagues in Canada who study Greek Canada, with my colleagues in Amsterdam and France, and of course in Greece, to start to develop what we might think of as a transnational diasporic understanding of Greece. So the study of Greeks outside of Greece is significant in many ways that speaks to a sense of self that goes beyond the rigidity and the fixedness of nation and boundaries and territory. And we start to think about culture in a different way that's removed perhaps from lingering notions of nationalism that have affected us in many ways. Mm-hmm. I would also just like to quickly share that there is this wonderful initiative that is transnational called Decolonize Hellas, and it's a nomadic platform of academics, researchers, public scholars, artists, activists, civil society actors who are dedicated to addressing the long-standing effects of colonialism, racism and xenophobia in Greece and around the world. And I'm working with colleagues in this collective movement to start to rethink how perhaps we can think about the relationship between Greek diasporization and colonialism in the British Empire, for example. But further to this, there's also opportunities to think about the relationship of classicism, and this is always a tension in modern Greek history, the tension between modern Greece and ancient Greece and the allure of ancient Greece to the Western mindset, how it's possible for us to think through classicism and our reception of classicism for us diasporic Greeks today. Beyond this, like I mentioned, there's opportunity here to collect, document, archive, and there's opportunities through those archival collections and the ability to try and harness our diverse stories in our diaspora and put them in comparison not only with Greek in Canada or America, but also in conversation with other comparable migrant groups. And so I wanted to also develop public dialogues with Italian diaspora, Indian diaspora, Chinese diaspora. What commonalities, what differences exist, and how do those commonalities and differences inform us further about who we are, where we belong, and if you will, where we're going? I'll just share one little kind of interesting thought process, and that is this. Some of you, your viewers, may be aware of these interesting images where you tilt it one way and it looks, it's a smiling face, and you tilt it the other way and it's a frowning face. So in the one image, there are two images depending on the angle in which you are looking. Stemming from the work of a colleague called a lenticular photograph. And so we can start to think about our diasporization of living in two realities in the one place. So the olive tree in our backyards, the lemon tree in our front yard. The different ways then that we are connected to Greece, connected to the Mediterranean at large, is, in my opinion, almost infinite. I can walk across the streets of Melbourne and locate Greece in many ways. So it's important for us to start to think about how we're relating to Greece personally in our lives on a daily basis. And yes, of course, that comes through the retention of language, but it also comes through the maintenance and preservation of different artifacts and objects that we keep in our homes. Like I said, our gardens, our streetscapes. So through this is to then say then that it's possible to be in one space and be simultaneously in Greece and in Australia at the same time, which sounds a little complicated, but it's not so hard for me to see my olive tree and say, wow, you know, that's like I'm in Greece. You know, I see Greece in the olive tree in the backyard, and at the same time, yet I'm in an Australian backyard, and my mind goes and returns to where I am. And so extending from this, further studies can also, with students, for us to think about in what ways are we connected globally, where our clothes are made, etc., where our computers are made. We are very much part of a global world today. But in what ways are we connecting to our diasporic homelands or diasporic cultures? And in many ways, this is happening online through Facebook, Twitter, however people connect. And so this is another area to explore, that we are in a very rapid way able to engage with Greece like never before. I am also able to engage with my international colleagues in ways that have never been possible before. If I think about the letters that my yaya used to write from Cyprus, and they would arrive, these blue letters would arrive in the mailbox, and the stories that we got told through those letters. I mean, now the rapid way that we can exchange with our homeland, it's significant for us to be able to relate to Cyprus or Greece and beyond in real time, in the now. And there's something interesting and useful to think about diaspora as breaking rigid forms of what it means to be Australian and what it means to be Greek, because diaspora allows kind of severance between the nation and the place, the host land in which you arrive, and you are allowed to. Being a diasporic subject, I think, is a very empowering thing in today's society. It's a very empowering thing to say, I am of the Greek diaspora in this global world, as opposed to saying, I'm a displaced Greek that is estranged from both Greece and Australia.
Something tells me that we have so many things to discuss in the future. Antonio Piperopoulos, thank you very much for taking the time. You've been very analytical and appreciate that. Good luck with your work. I'm sure you have so many things to do. Yeah, I'm sure we'll be in touch in the future as well.
Thank you, Panos, and I look forward to engaging with SBS Greek in the years ahead of us. And if I may say, I'm immensely humbled and privileged to take on this new role, and it does mean significantly good things for the study of Australia in a global context and Greece in a global context.
Θέλετε να ακούσετε περισσότερες ιστορίες σαν και αυτήν? Ακούστε στο Apple Podcast, στο Google Podcast, στο Spotify ή οπουδήποτε ακούτε podcast.